Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Captain J. Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay. We got Jay Moore. We got you for a three-hour ride on this Waddle Wednesday. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, as you well know, there are so many different opinions about the Chicago Bears, and it's been going on since the regular season ended. Because once the Bears solidified that number one draft pick, so, oh, here come the Bears again. Here they come. Another number one pick. And so for some, it was very controversial. Even before we even get to the draft, who the Bears could take and what they're going to do on their roster. Well, there is a former quarterback that has a lot to say about the Chicago Bears. Again, before we even get to the draft, already being able to draw his line in the sand and telling you what this upcoming quarterback, Caleb Williams, should and should not do with his career before he even gets drafted.
And Ryan Poles, I mean, it's obvious they're going to take him, but he has said, slow down. There's still steps to take. Still miles to go, as the poem goes, as we talked about. And they've got work to do. He'll be here next week. Today is the LSU Pro Day.
Mm-hmm.
Poles will be there. Now, I don't think he's astutely locked in, or intensely locked in on Jaden Daniels. Of course, he'll be there. I think he's there because of Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., the two receivers, and others. A great program, LSU. The whole Caleb Williams thing, just let it play out. He'll get his medicals next week, and if he checks that box, it's done.
The former quarterback in question is RG3, Robert Griffin III, who you see at times on ESPN. He's got his own platform as well, and has already given advice to Caleb Williams.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest.
Some thoughts from RG3 talking about this situation was pretty much him telling Caleb Williams, if I'm you, I'm pulling an Eli Manning.
Correct. I'm not going to Chicago, and I'm telling them that.
Can you imagine that?
No. A. B. You know, Dion with some, I thought, really stupid comments the last couple days. My kid and Travis Hunter are only going to one of four teams. And it's like the Falcons and the Cowboys and the 49ers and whatever other one. He's not going to anything cold. Well, guess what? If Caleb Williams had said that, I got the number one pick. He's the best player. I'm taking you. And if you don't want to play in the NFL, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get bullied. And the same goes for Dion. Sorry that if you're on the board and I'm picking, you want to hold out and walk away from your dreams, have at it.
The idea that RG3 says that the Chicago Bears is a bad organization for him to start with, so you'd rather for him to be a Washington Commander? Like, that's better?
Because that's where he played.
That's fine, but still the drizzling you-know-whats, though.
You're right.
It's the Commanders.
You're correct.
So you're saying, well, you don't want to go to the Bears. You'd rather go to Washington. Have you seen Washington lately? I mean, this is no shot at Ron Rivera, but he also is part of the problem of the underachievement on that team. Robert Griffin III pretty much telling Caleb Williams, man, the way that they treated Justin Fields, what do you think? How do you think they're going to treat you? Well, here's the thing. What happened was is that Ryan Poles, the general manager, decided I'm going to upgrade at the quarterback position. And also, I'm not going to be put in a position to pay Justin Fields $40 or $50 million a year. I'm not doing that.
Correct. That's, he hasn't earned it.
Yes.
And that was where he was at. Got to pick up the fifth-year option, because if you don't pick up the fifth-year option, and there were people calling the show who wanted Justin to stay, don't pick up the fifth-year option. Make him earn it. Well, then he's a free agent. No, I got a bidding war if he has a really good year. But I don't want to lock him in at $25 million because I don't think he's worth it, and he hasn't proven to me that he's worth it. Well, sign him to an extension now, some said. No, he hasn't earned that, and I'm not committing that. So in the end, if you really, really read the steps of this whole thing, Justin was out of here in December when that season ended, or the, whatever, first week of January.
That's about right.
Packer game ended. It was already done. We just didn't know where. But Poles knew. And he said the other day, this was not about Justin against Caleb or any of the other quarterbacks. This was about resetting the rookie slot at quarterback, period.
Imagine Robert Griffin saying this in front of an open mic.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
I think that he's over the top by saying that, because you're asking him to consider a franchise also that is a burning house, and that's the Washington Commanders. All I can tell you for RG3 is that there's a new president in place. There's a new general manager in place. The Bears have had two number one draft picks. And also, this offseason is a commitment to winning that I have not seen in a while, in decades around here.
Correct.
Just think about it.
Bold thinking.
I mean, again, it's not just one or two moves. Multiple moves. There is moves in place this offseason. As if the Bears looked at the 3-7 wins and go, we are solidifying our position in the playoffs. No matter what the competition is, these moves are solidifying us as a playoff contender.
When was the last time they thought this bold, spent this type of whatever you want to call it, money to get guys, draft capital to trade for guys? The last one was Khalil Mack.
Yes. Out of nowhere.
So a friend of mine I saw yesterday, I bumped into him, he said, Bears, they're cheap. They don't spend. I said, that's just a stupid, wrong narrative. He goes, well, when have they ever spent? I said, they traded for Khalil Mack, gave up two number ones and more, and then gave him, at the time he signed it, the richest defensive contract in the history of football. Oh, really? I didn't know that. I said, we can go back. When they got on the private jet and showed up at Julius Peppers' house and gave him $92 million.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
He's like, wow, I didn't even realize that.
Well,
that's the truth.
It's just the old school perception, though.
They were just poorly run.
Yes.
Now we got a guy who he's in charge, and he has a vision for what he wants to build, and he's building it.
See, but it's just the old school perception. You can go to a party or a gathering, and they know that you're in the sports. They know I'm in the sports. And then there's be this guy on the outside that hasn't really paid attention to sports since 1989. And he'll have his 1989 thoughts of how Chicago teams don't spend. That kind of thing.
Right.
And in 2024, we have plenty of examples of the Bears or the Cubs taking big swings at free agents.
Right.
Big swings.
Doesn't mean that they're all right. They spent $184 million on Jason Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the speech and a few gold gloves,
sure,
they probably wouldn't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big swing. The Khalil Mack thing, for a while, it looked hot. Remember that Sunday night, its debut?
Yeah.
Bears are up 20-0 at the half at Green Bay, and oh, man, we're going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't end up working out.
Because it's just one guy. It's the right deal at the time, but it's just one player.
But we've never had an infrastructure like this.
Well, that's the key.
Infrastructure.
That's the key word.
Yeah.
That's the key word.
Wow. They went out and got a bunch of dudes on the O-line. Maybe they're going to be okay. Maybe he's got to get more. We'll see. Wow, they're getting who at quarterback? Mm-hmm. Caleb Williams?
See,
wow.
And so we make fun of this word a lot because it's a word that we talk a lot about. But it does make sense, Cap. We could look at free agency, I mentioned, like the Cubs or the Bears in particular, and say, boy, those are sound moves. But those are just one move or two moves. look at what the Bears are able to do. What I like is that you made a couple of big swings and you added depth. When's the last time you saw that? Usually it's depth moves and maybe one big swing.
Yep.
All right, here we go. We're good with the team. Let's go. No.
Got a couple draft picks at the top here. Nope. They are all in.
And that's why it feels different.
Oh, Keenan Allen's available? Done.
Sure. When have the Bears done that?
Correct.
Nice mic you got there. That come with amends?
Don't even get me started on these freaking equipment around here.
Okay. How about Ryan Poles' comments about what RG3 had to say? He was on the Pat McAfee show.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you, because we were hired to break a cycle. The same thing when I was in Kansas City. Coach Reed, all of us were brought there to break a cycle, and we did. And no one talks about those days anymore. It's all about what they are right now. So I really believe we're about to break this cycle and get this city in a really good situation and win a lot of games. So the past is the past. Like, I don't worry about that at all. It's about where we're going.
Breaking the cycle of losing.
Yes, being a freaking punchline.
Yes.
Dude, I go into a bar up in Wisconsin. It's not far from Green Bay when we're up there. It's called Jerry's Bar. Jerry's. It's been around since 1911.
Mm-hmm.
It is all Packer, all Brewer, all Buck. I walk in there. I have my Cubs hoodie on or my Bears hoodie on. I walk in there. Oh, yeah, here they come. Hey, make sure you keep Dustin Fields. They don't stop.
Mm-hmm.
I belly up to the bar, and all I get is abuse.
Yeah.
Abuse. Huh. Well, guess what? Craig Counsell left Milwaukee to come to us. Huh. Caleb Williams is coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got the ninth pick, too. Get ready. It's about to get real.
It's about breaking the cycle, as Ryan Poles said. Breaking the cycle. He says the past is the past, but you know what he meant. When he says breaking the cycle, he means, like, I can't do anything about the past, but I know it sucked. I know that it was mom and pop. And now here comes Brother Warren, and here comes Poles in, and the mood changed.
Get out of the way.
The idea that you have someone that's running the finances making big, bold moves on the football team? No. No. It was always the wrong thing to do. It was always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we talk about the word infrastructure, not just on the field, but also in the front office as well. But you did not have the infrastructure. Ted Phillips, nice enough guy, but making big, bold moves, you know, as far as hiring the head coach, no. You need football people to pick football things.
Correct.
That's what you needed. And the Bears didn't do that. And so that cycle, to me, has been broken. Now it's just about being able to win on the field. That's
correct.
What it's about.
That is correct.
But, I mean, just when you walk in the room and they see Warren, there's a guy that's going to build a new stadium right there. And here's Ryan Poles here tanking the Chicago Bears. Well, you can say whatever you want about the Chicago Bears. When's the last time you said, boy, they truly are trying to lose? The Bears are actually trying to win, but, again, the infrastructure sucked.
Now, not so much. Looks pretty good. Pretty good, kid.
No, there's no doubt about that.
If you were buying a stock, year one, 3-14, I'll throw a few dollars. It's real. It's a penny stock. When they were 14 in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, your stock is down. The red arrow is going down. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, wow, they're starting to play better. Wow, really? Here they come. Won their last five home games. Hey, hon, I'm going to buy more of that stock.
Yes.
And here they come. Now it's time to take that stock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
I can show you a place with a big red arrow pointing down. We're going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, God.
We're going to be there tomorrow. You ever see the sign? Big arrow, red arrow pointing down?
Yes.
Yeah, you what you pay for.
Wow.
So, again, Robert Griffin III.
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, Can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
Ryan Poles, that pissed me off.
It's exactly what Poles said.
It pisses me off a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Not happy.
And guess what? By the way, breaking news, Andrew Marchand.
Robert Griffin might be out at ESPN.
Yes.
This morning.
Read that. So, how about this, Shay? Let's open the phone lines here on this Waddle Wednesday. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I want to find out from you, did RG3 say anything unfair about the Bears? We played that 45-second soundbite, and so you heard what he had to say. Did he say anything unfair about the Bears? And do you trust Ryan Poles to break the cycle? You heard what Poles had to say as well, because that's the job, to try to break the cycle and to be a perennial playoff team. Let's get your thoughts on that on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Oh, Cap, Jay Hood, big fan, man.
Bop, 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 bop. Watch out, fellas.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We'll have Snorling Scouting Report coming your way at 7:50 right here on Cap and Jay Hood. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Wednesday, a Waddle Wednesday on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show as Cap and I are back together after spring trading, as Cap survived Carm and me.
We had a good time.
Survived Yurko.
Yep. And you had a good time.
Yeah. It's funny. It's out of his mind. I can't believe that we actually grew up in a similar area and drank from the same water reservoir. I feel I'm normal next to him.
I will tell you this.
Almost normal.
Like, I was talking to Olin Krutz, and I said, tell me about playing against Yurko. He said, dude, the most flexible human being, built like a fire hydrant, I have ever had to block.
Mm-hmm.
He said, unbelievable. The angles he could get his body to and make a play. He said, and tough, hard-nosed, loved the competitor that dude was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yurko is a tough dude.
Yes,
like,
he is.
I would never want to mess with Yurk.
Yes.
But deep down in his core, Yurk is a really good dude.
Of course.
He's just a good guy. And he's a man's man, man. Mm-hmm. He likes to have a good time. So, yeah, he's a great teammate.
RG3, did he say anything unfair about the Chicago Bears?
Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning and demand that the Chicago Bears do not draft him number one overall. After everything that's happened with just Justin Fields, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? This is the organization that has my best interest at heart, and they're going to help develop me into the player that I want to become. Caleb Williams is on record saying that he wants to be legendary. He wants to rewrite history, and he wants to be the best that he can possibly be and win the most games he can possibly win. After the Bears took Justin Fields, the 11th pick in the draft, and turned him into a sixth round pick in the 2025 draft by trading him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, can Caleb Williams really look at that and say, you know what? Yeah, this organization is going to help get me where I want to go. I don't think it's saying that.
Well, thoughts there from RG3. What I would say, just on the surface, Cap, I mean, RG3 is wrong about a number of things he said. And here's one thing I got to point out. Whatever happened to Justin Fields with him being traded to Pittsburgh has nothing to do with Caleb Williams as far as what his career is going to be, because Caleb Williams is not Justin Fields.
Correct.
You have the autonomy to control your own destiny as an individual. You can't look at the Justin Fields situation and said, well, they trade him for a six-round pick next year. Well, they don't know how to handle quarterbacks, and I'm a quarterback, so I'm just going to run away from it. I'm not going to take the challenge. Well, ultimately, you're your own brand. If you feel like your friend in the office got fired and you feel like you're next, well, what are you doing to prevent that?
Correct.
You're not your friend.
That's a great analogy.
Well, I'm just saying, you're your own individual.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
So it's like, well,
why didn't it work out for Hoodie? What happened there that I shouldn't do? Or what did he not do that I should do?
Yeah.
100%.
I'm gone tomorrow and you're still here? It's got nothing to do with you. You are an individual. We are a team. But the point is, though, I'm gone tomorrow, and you're still here.
But do your job.
Yes.
Correct. And I would say the same to you.
Yes.
Hey, so, honey, it's
fine.
Sucks. Do your job.
Yes. So why would Robert Griffin III think that Caleb Williams is nervous, shivering in the corner because Justin Fields got traded? It didn't work out because he underachieved at the position.
Correct.
And they were not going to pay Justin Fields $40 or $50 million a year. Say it out loud. Think about that. Think about the guys, the quarterbacks that have gotten paid or paid, and then compare those guys to Justin Fields.
We played the audio. Man. I'm sure you still have it, where Paul said this was not Justin against the other quarterbacks. This was about the financial ramifications. Plus, they love Caleb Williams. Let's just call it what it is.
Just I still understand. I mean, Caleb Williams would tell you.
I think he's going to another big city. I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the, you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. You know, if that was the place, I'd be excited. Get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, I'm caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself. Caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
Surprise, surprise.
That's it. Smokey.
Southside JD is with us here on Cap and J Hood. JD, good morning.
Good morning. What's up, Hood? What's up, Cap?
What's cracking?
What's up? You know, RG3, he didn't say anything that I saw that was wrong because we have had our problems with quarterbacks. But what he said was stupid because you should not go telling nobody that they should demand that they don't get drafted. To go to the NFL is a privilege.
You're right.
I don't care. I played a little high school ball and was pretty good. If I had a chance to go play for the Cucamonga Bad Boys, I would go play. In the NFL, you're playing for an NFL team. I don't care who I get picked to play with. It's the NFL.
Well, that's why it's wrong. You said he didn't say anything wrong. Well, that's wrong, the idea that you're just going to duck a team. Whether it's Eli Manning or whoever, it's wrong to be able to say, you know, I'm not going to play for them. Right. Hey, you finally got to the next level, so it's time for you to take the challenge. Like, it's the Chicago Bears. So exactly. Yeah, it's the Bears. So you know what? You change the narrative. You change it. You break the cycle.
Right. You're exactly right. And another thing about everybody who's hitting on the kid, Caleb, about with the fingernail polish and the pink phone and the way he cried. Dennis Rodman was like that.
Thank
he's
you.
A Hall of Famer. And he's a Hall of Famer. When he was on the hardwood, he was a beast. I hope the kid can be a beast and paint his fingernails.
Well, all I know is when I read that and I hear that, then it really is just a huge mirror. It is a mirror to someone else's soul.
Do you remember what Jay Glazer said? He said, I told the Caleb Williams camp. He didn't say he told Caleb, although there's speculation that it was that's who he talked to. If you go to Chicago, they're going to build statues named bridges and tunnels. Yeah. You will be legendary if you go to Chicago and win. They haven't had a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, since Sid Luckman. That was 80 years ago.
Jay Moore, if you find that, put that up there.
Remember that's that?
The old Jay Glazer. Yeah, I do remember Jay Glazer saying that.
Yeah. 80 years. That's how pathetic we've been. And this is the first time that I remember us really putting an infrastructure around a young quarterback.
Infrastructure.
When Eric Kramer came here, he had a couple good receivers, Curtis Conway and Jeff Graham. They were okay.
I love Eric Kramer.
Yeah, he's a great dude. They were okay. Wasn't great.
Yeah.
But think about it. When was the last time we really had a franchise guy and really surrounded him? Jim McMahon was fine. He wasn't franchise guy, but we had a great infrastructure.
I mean, think about this.
I told his people, you got a chance to go to Chicago. Go to Chicago. You win in Chicago, they will erect bridges for you, streets for you, tunnels for you. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You'll be forever golden, that city. It's a great city.
Yes.
You want to go to a place like Chicago.
Right.
How would you not want to go to a place like Chicago? I kind of argued with some of his cats early on about it. Chicago, it's one of those rare places, man, where you have a chance to change your life forever by being ingrained in that city.
Jay Glazer.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's as wired in the NFL as anybody. He knows the Williams side. He knows the Poles side with the Bears. He and Urlacher are tight as tight. Like, he knows all the inner workings of both sides. And that's why RG3, And I know our guy from the South Side who just said what he said was, he said he didn't say anything wrong. What he said was stupid. I think both things he said were dumb and stupid and wrong.
Garrett is on the West Side on Cap and J-Hood. Garrett, good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on? It's Derek. Derek from the West Side.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, a couple things. This RG3 guy, I used to like him. But this is the same guy, I want to say a year or two ago, that was crying on national TV, begging the Bears to make him a backup to Justin Fields. Now we're a crap organization that can't handle quarterbacks. Furthermore, this is the same guy who was drafted by the Redskins in the same draft. They drafted his replacement in the same year, but they're the good quarterback organization. So he'd rather him go to Washington. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it does not make sense, Derek. I mean, so he's saying that, well, you definitely don't want to play for the Bears because look what they did to Justin Fields. No, what did Justin Fields do to Justin Fields?
Yeah, look, you may not agree with me.
He's part of it as well.
Yes. Justin was put in a horrible situation.
Sure.
He had a GM and a coach who were, they were two guys drowning, trying to grab onto the life raft, and they used him to be the life preserver. And it didn't work. And he got destroyed on a bad team. The next year, Poles came in and tore it to the studs. Justin, here, good luck. Amir Smith-Marset and Dante Pettit. There's your receivers. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
He had no chance. This year, though, he had a pretty good team. He wasn't great. And they went, hey, man, life's not fair. Sorry. We got the number one pick, and there's a really good player there. Sorry. No hard feelings. Good luck.
Cap, it's about the business of sports. At some point, I think as a sports fandom, we all have to grow up and be adults and just be able to understand that your favorites are not going to last for 10 or 20 years. There's no more Tony Gwynn's. There's no more Cal Ripken's that's going to stay in the same uniform forever. We're just beyond that.
Correct.
It should not be this breakdown every day of trying to understand why Justin Fields was traded. Justin Fields was traded because anybody could be traded at any time. That's the whole point of it. The all-time greats that you and I saw on the playing surface got traded. I thought as a kid that Wayne Gretzky would always be an Edmonton Oiler. Until I start to understand market size, it's like, well, Edmonton's not that big a city. It's not. That's why he went to Los Angeles. Because it's a bigger city and more acclaim and more dollars, especially on and off the ice. So this whole breakdown every day of why would they do that? Why would they trade my favorite? That's the business of sports. A general manager has an opportunity to generally manage his team by saying, I'm going to upgrade. As he upgraded on the offensive line and tried to upgrade with the defense by getting Montez Sweat, you have the right to do that. And so that's okay. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? We'll be the first one to say, hey, we were riding with you. It didn't work out. That's your decision. So now you have to fall on your sword. So it's very simple. This is color by the numbers that we do every day with this. The general manager thinks he wants to upgrade the quarterback position. He doesn't want to pay that quarterback $40 million because he hasn't played $40 million a year of football. And so now you try to upgrade the position like anything else.
That's it.
It's really not that deep. It really isn't.
It was not.
So for RG3 to say that, well, you know, Caleb Williams should just bypass the Bears because of the treatment of Justin Fields, then what kind of competitor are you? Since he wants to be legendary, what a city to be legendary.
Oh, my goodness.
What a city. Here?
Dude, stop. It's people have no idea what's about to hit this city. No idea.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Do you trust Ryan Poles to break the cycle? More of your phone calls on that. Don't forget, we've got Shea's scouting report. Wait until you hear it coming up at 7:50. All part of the mix on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot. And it's brought to you by...
That would be ESPN Bet, now live in Illinois. Sign up today. New users get $100 of bonus bets with any sportsbook bet. We say good morning to Shea W. Verse.
Good morning. I don't hate that, actually.
Shea Verse.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
I like that. There you go.
Listen, if you're Cap Williams, then go ahead.
That's it. Or Caleb Kaplan, as I've been referred to by many.
I love it.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. My guy's coming.
Excuse me?
My guy's coming to Chicago. Guy hadn't hit it in 4 months, and he's got all these cute little one-liners.
Just you put it on a tee sometimes. I mean.
Ah. Thank you, Jay Moore. Appreciate that. not that Jay Moore made that. I'm just saying it. Never mind. By the way, you got a missive on X, on Twitter, right here.
I did?
Yes, from our friend.
Reading scouting reports.
From WLW's own Lance McAllister from Cincinnati, who says, hey, the Catman, DraftKings have the Reds at 81.5 as far as wins. The Cubs at 84.5. I'll take 3 wins and our bet is on. Hashtag take that. From Lance McAllister.
Yeah, I had to pay last year because I had to spot his pathetic organization too many games. And even though we finished ahead of them, I had to pay off with a package from Malnati's.
Reds 81.5.
But why
Cubs 84.5. He says,
I want to know why DK is the be-all, end-all. I'm not a DK guy.
Okay.
I can be bought, but I'm not a DK guy at this moment.
So you have to respond to him at some point because the bet is on, he says. So there you have it. Shot or no shot? Here's Shea Norling. Shea?
There's no way he said I can be bought by a sports book.
100%.
You got David Otani over here, too. All right, Ryan Poles talked about how the NIL.
Imagine if I was coaching and I'm trying to get bets in. Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely.
You would be, too. You would be. I thought this was interesting yesterday. Ryan Poles talked about how the NIL has impacted scouting players. Some have made fortunes in their college careers, including Caleb Williams, before even entering the league. Poles took the angle, I haven't heard yet, that it's actually a good thing. Said it challenges players by forcing them to handle a spotlight, needing to prioritize money, business, football, and school all at once before even entering the NFL. It gives teams a clearer picture of who these players actually are as people and if they can handle the stress that's about to be thrust onto them. Shot or no shot, the NIL is actually good for scouting players.
Maybe when it comes to a guy like Caleb at the top of the food chain, I don't think the NIL has anything to do with me evaluating a third-round offensive line prospect. No. No shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot to that, only because, I mean, when it comes to evaluation, that has not changed over the years. Nothing has changed about whether or not the guy's fast, is he healthy, what he did for his college team, what his coaches say about him on the college level. That has not changed, Cap. That's not changed. So I would just say that that's still, even in the era of NIL, I still think that those old school factors still matter in evaluating a player. NIL? I don't think so.
Agreed.
Now, that might evolve moving forward, but I don't think it is right now.
I think Caleb, because he's going to be thrust into such a scrutinized situation, yeah, he's proven that he can be that guy, brand ambassador for multiple products like Dr. Pepper nationally, all these other. Sure. Okay. He's had to deal with being a brand.
Mm-hmm.
But some guy I take out of Idaho State in the fifth round of trying to make my team, and he got $40,000 in NIL, doesn't do anything for it. Nothing.
Shavers.
Thank you. I was listening to Mina Kimes. She does her mock draft on her podcast. She did it with Greg McElroy. And McElroy said something I thought was interesting about why the decision for him with the Bears at number one overall is easy. Listen to this.
Right now, with where we're at and rookie contracts and stuff, like, I want the boomer bust prospect. Like, I want to find the next Mahomes. So if I'm drafting top of the draft, I'm not that interested in trying to find a guy that's like, all right, he's going to be steady. He's going to be Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't want to find that guy. I want to find the Mahomes. And if he's not Mahomes, fine. We'll fast forward a couple years and we'll do it all over again. I'm going Caleb Williams. I think he's got the highest ceiling in the draft.
God, that's just so lazy. It's just so lazy. I mean, everyone said, well, I want the next Mahomes. Mahomes wasn't Mahomes when he was drafted. Actually, that's not what you wanted initially until he was with Andy Reid. Will Andy Reid get any credit for any of this, cultivating this quarterback to what he is today? I mean, again, Patrick Mahomes was a guy that was doing loop-de-loops for Texas Tech going backwards in an offense they drew up in the dirt. What that was.
They were 5-7, isn't that what you told me? They're his last year. 5-7.
Now, ultimately, once you get there, when you're able to mold and shape the quarterback to what he is, and then his own God-given natural ability, because he's a second-generation ball player, okay. But just the laziest thing, well, I want my Mahomes. Well, who doesn't? Now. But not at the time that he was drafted. You hope that you can be able to build into something like that. Or even better, how about the first Williams? And call it that. Where Correct. He's a shining star, where he's the pinnacle of the quarterback position.
That'd be amazing.
How about that?
That'd be amazing.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right. Well, I was going to ask a different kind of question, because McElroy in that clip says, you're going, like, Hoodie, I get your point, but when Mahomes was drafted, teams were looking for the next Tom Brady. It's just the way people talk about this, which we don't have to like. I agree, it is lazy, but it is what it is. He did say, you're looking for that boom type of player, could be the best quarterback in football. If you don't get it and he busts out, you just do it all again in 3 years. I agree with him on that.
Sure,
but Bears fans have certainly been through enough at the quarterback position to not be willing to accept that kind of failure. And we heard, I believe it was Damian Woody say, if the Bears get this one wrong, they're doomed.
Yeah.
Shot or no shot, this is kind of now or never for the Bears to find their franchise quarterback.
Look, they can take another swing in whatever number of years, but it's never going to be set up better where you've got the youngest team in the NFL, you've got the ninth pick on top of the first pick, on top of a bunch of really good players already here. I mean, this is as strong as it's going to get, kid.
Yeah, well, it's a no shot, because the doors are still open in Lake Forest. If Caleb Williams does not work out as a quarterback for this team, they're not going to fold the franchise.
Correct.
They'll go back in. They can go bottom out again, look for the hot name at the quarterback position, or try to piecemeal it together with some veteran. I mean, the action and the NFL never stops.
It'll
just continue. So I understand what Damian Woody was saying, because he's pretty much saying, man, if this doesn't work out, man, what will? I understand that perspective.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
And it's not like the feeling of, you know, hot take of the day. I understand his point, because he's seen the Bears go up and down with the quarterbacks and up and down as an organization, saying, man, this is ready made. If it doesn't work, it just feels doomed. I get that point. But again, the doors are still open. You're still going to be a franchise. You're still going to be running a football operation with or without Caleb Williams.
Right. The Bears are a business. It's still going to be there. But it's not going to have a smoother runway than what we got right now. Oh, man. You feel like you're boarding the jet to go on an amazing vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Now it better deliver and not rain.
Yeah, I actually think I might have framed this poorly, because, Cap, you hit on it right away. It's never going to be built this way again. Like, if you miss on Caleb, yeah, you're going to get more swings and you're going to get more chances to find a franchise quarterback, but it might end up being, you find your Matthew Stafford on the Lions, or you find your Justin Herbert on the Chargers, or you find your Phillip Rivers on the Chargers, or whatever it is, where you have a franchise quarterback, but the team just is never really there with it. Right now, it feels like the single best opportunity of any team, certainly in my lifetime, to couple the franchise quarterback with the ready-built team.
Shay.
Last night, Jordan Montgomery finally signed an MLB contract, a one-year deal to join the Arizona Diamondbacks for $25 million, with an option for a second year with variable money based on the number of starts. No secret that there are weaknesses for the Cubs in their starting pitching and in their pitching staff as a whole this season. So shot or no shot, the Cubs should have been more in on Jordan Montgomery for this price.
That's a shot.
We're treating Jordan Montgomery and Matt Chapman like frickin' Pi Trainer of the 1907 Pirates and Walter Johnson.
Okay, you could do better than that. Come on. Let's say, Jay Moore, strike that off the podcast. just edit that out. Now, you're going to get an opportunity to update that. We do have younger listeners, for God's sakes. Those people you talked about, that generation's dead. It's the silent generation.
They were good players.
So, all right, so do it again. Update. Okay, you're going to update the end. Hold on a second. Let me give you a countdown because we're going to edit that out of the podcast. Pie freaking trainer. Are you kidding me? What are you doing there?
And three, two, one.
We're treating Matt Chapman like he's freaking Nolan Arenado and Max Scherzer was the guy available. Stop. He's okay. He's fine. Yeah. Should they have spent it? Ricketts can't take the money to the grave with him. Just give him the debit card and go get whatever you want. But let's stop with the Jordan Montgomery. Oh, my God. Holy cow.
Who's putting him on a pedestal? He got 1 year for $25 million.
Go on social media. I can't believe we didn't get Jordan Montgomery.
I don't give a rat's ass what those people are saying.
Dude, I walked in here this morning and you immediately said, he would have made you the favorite in the division. Really? You sure about that? We already are the favorite, A.
That's not what I said. Well, and most sports books have St. Louis.
That's what you said.
That is, I wasn't talking about the Cubs. I was talking about a different team. I don't want to get into it. But for the Cubs, I think if it's, you look at your win total right now at 83.5, Jordan Montgomery last year was a four-win player. You pump up four wins and you look at 87 in this division, that could be enough.
But guess what? Those are numbers. That doesn't guarantee you anything.
That's fine.
You could be the Reds.
I'm making a point to you that it makes me feel better entering the season if I can go, okay, I can bump my win expectation by four wins. And if we get to the end of the season and we're sitting on 83 and St. Louis wins it with 86, you bet your ass we're going to be pissed about this.
Yeah, bump up like four or five wins, like the Tigers, right, Shay?
So, bingo, thank you.
That's an example, right? There's an example. Detroit.
There's a team that spent $0 in free agency, essentially. They have an 80.5 win total, and if they would have gone out and gotten Matt Chapman or Jordan Montgomery, it goes to 88, and they're a favorite in a division.
Again, Shay, those are freaking fictitious numbers.
Who cares? It's what we have right now. They're not playing games. The job of an owner and a GM in an offseason is to do the best thing to make the team better. I don't think the Cubs did enough, and I don't think many other teams in this league did enough.
All I'm telling you is,
I don't care if it's fictitious numbers. They're real-life players.
Correct, and maybe your GM's a little smarter than you. Mr. Duquesne's going to cover against Illinois. Maybe your GM ended up looking at Matt Chapman and goes, nah, because I went back through his numbers the last 3 months. He sucked offensively. So maybe I don't want to sign that guy. Oh, but maybe the Cubs shouldn't, because their number one prospect happens to be a third baseman, Matt Shaw, who's coming to the big leagues probably sooner rather than later. So guess what, Matt? Chapman, enjoy San Francisco. Oh, Jordan Montgomery. Yeah, he's okay. Not great. He's okay. Oh, our number one pitching prospect happens to be number two overall in all of minor league baseball. He's expected to be here. His name's Cade Horton. Guess what? We'll pass.
It's good for Jed. You better be right. Like I said to you this morning, I wasn't talking about the Cubs. I didn't think the Cubs needed to go and get Matt Chapman. That was not a move that I would have made. But 1 year, $25 million for Jordan Montgomery, just to bring in a sure veteran arm into your rotation? Yeah, I'd do it. And on the terms of my team, you want to talk about the decision not to spend money on one-year deals for Chapman or for Montgomery? How about sitting $60 million under league average payroll? I don't care. You don't have a farm system good enough to act like that. Don't talk to me about Scott Harris being smarter because I lost the Duquesne bet. Okay. Who cares?
All right. All right. Well, I certainly do not. But I will ask this question if I may. May I ask this question?
Yes.
So, taking all the emotion out of it, when it comes to Jordan Montgomery, wouldn't you say that that's a better fifth starter than what you have on the roster? Would that be an upgrade if he was on the roster, based on what you know about Montgomery, on a one-year flyer? Is that an upgrade from what you already have?
Maybe. But they believe that their number one prospect is going to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, and he's that close to the big leagues.
No, I'm just saying, like, if that was a choice, you wouldn't mind that as to throw in there to the rotation, especially a guy with his back against the wall with a one-year deal. Probably be better, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. Around the NFL is right around the corner on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Welcome back.
Welcome back
to Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's a Waddle Wednesday here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Wednesday. We'll hear from Tommy coming up at 8:35. But first, around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, a lot of changes to the National Football League and certain things. Rules for sure. But a couple other changes. I want to get into a few and around the NFL today. The owners' meetings have seen a lot happen, starting with the change to the kickoff rule. And Sean McVay talked about they're going to learn a lot in the midst of this rule change strategically. As he quote, as we start to figure it out schematically, how does that affect and influence the outcome of games? What does that do in terms of those 10 to 12 plays that will now be more prevalent depending on the approach? Obviously, getting rid of the surprise onside kick, they're going to have to figure out a different way to kind of defend kickoffs, if it's going to be more difficult to stop returns, if there will be more of them, what that does to the game. And college football is apparently looking at adopting this rule. This may just be the future of kickoffs at all levels of football.
You know, we watch football games 3+ hours, and what is it, Cap? Have you ever heard the actual total of actual action happening on the field? It's 18 minutes, 20 minutes in a 3-hour ball game, something like that.
That's correct.
Something along those lines. As long as you're getting more action in the game, I have no problem with it. We had Albert Breer on here yesterday, and Albert's somewhat of a football traditionalist. Like, he understands, but he likes it the way it has been, where the strategy in the game. Wait a minute, are they going onside kick? Instead of having to announce, hey, we're going to do a strategy here. Now, you still got to stop it on the other end, but it just feels different. But I totally get it. If there's more action in the game, I'm all for it.
I love action in the game, and if there's ways to protect the players at least a little bit more, it still would be a violent game with a lot of injuries. That's just a fact. I got no issues with what they have tried to accomplish. None.
Just something, what about the special teams? I mean, there was a time where that special team, that ball gets kicked off. You got some yardage and got some, you know, that's the fireworks.
And now we may have that. You saw the Steelers sign Cordero Patterson yesterday. As soon as that then got approved, all right, we'll take him. 2-year deal.
I mean, you finally get into your seats or at home really to watch an NFL game, and then there's that kickoff, that 12 o'clock, right? That ball is in the air. And, man, you just want – I want to see, like I used to see, a nice return to get things kicked off, to get things started. Hopefully we'll have that again. Just to – I mean, it could be 10 yards. Just get me going instead of being in the back of the end zone all the time. I mean, you can put on the red zone. He'll have eight games on, and they all go into the end zone with kickoffs.
ESPN said yesterday, if this rule change doesn't work, that they'll do away with the kickoff will be the next thing.
Yeah, because this is a one-year rule change, and that I imagine if it continued to just be touchbacks and teams opt out of even trying to give up a return, they'll just get rid of it. Start on the 25-yard line, that'll be that.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have?
A couple changes to the schedule. I will start with the trade deadline. The NFL, at the behest of, I believe, the Pittsburgh Steelers, has moved the trade deadline into November. It will be November 5th this year after Week 9. I don't think this is far enough, to be honest with you. I would like it maybe around Week 11, Week 12. I get that the NFL wants to avoid teams outright tanking because they have a clear picture. They're out of it. They're going to sell off pieces. I think it makes the trade deadline much more interesting when teams have a clearer picture of who and what they are and what they need to do. Think about like hockey, the NBA, Major League Baseball. The trade deadline comes about 60% of the way through the season. Why in the NFL are we doing it pretty much dead on at the halfway mark?
Because it's
like
way,
it a little bit later.
Way, way harder to assimilate a guy at certain positions into what you do. Offensively, running back, all right. Quarterback, you can't just walk in week 11 and learn the offense. You just can't. That's some, just a fact.
Some have tried, Josh Dobbs.
Right. How'd that work out?
I'm just saying, some has tried. I want you to think about this, to what Shay said. in Major League Baseball, we always look forward to the trade deadline. And lately, that has been August 29th, August 30th. So now there's this mad dash through the last month of the season to say, hey, we got new players for September, you know, along with the call-ups. You got the new players, and you acquired someone via the trade because a team is out of it. That sprint is as interesting as the playoffs for me in September. September baseball, in a pennant push, you got new players on there. Hey, what did that do for the Cubs getting Aramis Ramirez during the season?
Right.
To play third base, like in the middle of the season.
Correct.
So why not, how about around Thanksgiving for the trade deadline? What about December 1st?
That's too late. For me, that's too late.
What about Thanksgiving?
I'm cool with where they put it, to be honest with you.
November 5th is the date that you gave us, right,
and
Shay?
What was it last year, Shay?
It was before week 9. I think it was after week 8. So which was also a move back, because I think previously it was after week 7, which was way too early.
I mean, who knows? Shay, there could be a team that just needs something right away for that, again, that December push to get into the playoffs in January. I'd love to have that December 1.
Right.
Or Thanksgiving, somewhere around in that area, that weekend.
I think it's too late.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but my argument would be it's not like we see genuine starting quarterbacks get flipped at the deadline ever. So I don't worry about that too much because teams know they can't bring them in. Like, offensive linemen aren't going to get flipped a ton. But could an edge rusher get moved? Last year, if the Vikings weren't, but just as an example, if the Vikings had been out of it week 12, but in it week 9, they're not moving Danielle Hunter week 9, but if they're then out of it week 12, they would. And that's where I think it becomes more interesting for the contending teams. And how can you make approaches and arms races to get better?
That wide receiver that comes out of nowhere where you know the team's not going anywhere, and then put them on the team in December, look out, changes the fortunes. That one move or several moves of a wide receiver or defensive end where the team's out of it and you put them on your team, that could turn into a playoff team. All of a sudden, you got to push. Like, you might be on the precipice of being in the playoffs, and then it's like, well, if we only had a couple of other players, oh, look out. Now in December, we made that push. Now we're in the playoffs in January. That's what I want. I want almost that somewhat of an NBA factor or Major League Baseball factor in that. I'd love to see that for the NFL.
Yeah, I don't want it as late as you guys do because I just don't think you'd see as much action as you think you would, A, because teams don't want to give up draft capital, and B, most guys, it's tough to pick up an NFL system at certain positions. It is.
All right, Shay, what else do we have?
Buddy, I have a feeling you're not going to like this schedule change. I am vehemently opposed to it. Traditionally, the NFL only plays games on Christmas Day if it falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. Sure. They do not play on Christmas Day when it's in the middle of the week. No more. Breaking news yesterday, this year the NFL plans to play a doubleheader on Christmas Day, which is a Wednesday. Is nothing
you
sacred.
What? You know what?
I will say Goodell at least came out and said, thankfully, Wednesday games will not become a regularity. There are no plans to start playing regular season games on Wednesdays, only when Christmas falls on a Wednesday.
You know what?
Why do we need Christmas Day that badly?
That is my NBA day. Why does the NFL have to step on it? Why? So this tells me, it solidifies, I already knew this, but I think it's pretty official now, Cap. Silver and Goodell have no relationship. None. You think Stern would have allowed this in his day, David Stern, the late commissioner?
I don't think it's totally Goodell's call.
He wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have allowed it. Stern would have.
That's my day.
That's what would have happened. You go on your day, I'll be on my day. The NFL didn't care. They could be at any day in the week. The NBA is my day on Christmas. Many people will start watching the NBA on Christmas Day. It's on all day. And the NFL sticks their beak in it. Why?
I love it. Love it. Christmas Day, we go to a movie early.
Yeah, why would you care about that when you're just eating Chinese food and going to movies? You're not going to watch it. What's the point?
We actually have a ham and a roast, but I get your point.
Kosher?
No. My wife's Greek. We have a great meal.
I'm not having any of it.
We're going to go to the 11 a.m. movie with my father-in-law and then settle in for a football doubleheader. Game on.
Unless the game is on in the Chinese restaurant, you're not going
to
be watching it.
We don't go to a restaurant on Christmas Day.
That's not
Mindy Kaplan style.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got no problem with this. Love it.
Here's my other fear. Is they're going to, I can't imagine they're going to extend bye weeks to the week of Christmas, which means the teams playing on Christmas will have played the week prior. I imagine they will get the Saturday games the week prior.
Yes.
Thursday football is bad enough. The quality that late in the year on a short week, holiday week like that, I don't think it's good for the quality of the game that we're going to end up getting on a Wednesday afternoon and night.
Yeah, but Jackaloons like this guy does not care about the health of the athlete. He just wants to gamble. Couldn't care less.
It has nothing to do with that.
But you tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not wrong. You don't care about that. You care about what's the angle, kid? How much money you can have? You don't care that these guys will play on Sunday and maybe you have to play on Wednesday. They're already doing it Sunday, Thursday.
First of all, they're not going to play Sunday to Wednesday, I don't think.
Well, how do you know?
I don't.
Well, I'm telling you, you don't care about that.
It has nothing to do with care
or
not care.
It does.
I could scream
you
into the microphone from now until next Christmas. The league doesn't care, so guess what? I got no say in the matter. So I'm going to settle in with a cocktail, a good meal, courtesy of my wife, and be right on my couch watching NFL football.
Oh, so Alice is going to make the meal for you, right? Is it going to be a TV dinner? Gonna slide it right there to you.
Nope.
Make you comfortable.
Nope.
Rub your feet. Is that what you're saying?
Christmas Day.
Courtesy of my wife. You're cooking.
Christmas Day is a day that she treasures.
And what about you?
I'm alone for the ride. I do whatever I'm asked. So, whatever, we have family over. She's gonna cook a great meal. She loves doing it.
Yes.
And then have a little pie and watch football. Game on!
Okay. Well, let's talk about dessert instead. All right. How about that, Tommy Waddle?
A little cherry pie.
How about that? Football on Wednesdays. How about
Christmas
that, Tom?
Christmas pie. Hey, Jonathan, I heard you guys talking about that. They've already said the four teams that will be playing on Christmas Wednesday will also be scheduled to play the previous Saturday.
That's not true.
How is ESPN okay with that? They're going to put NFL games alongside the expanded college football playoff and then on NBA Christmas. ESPN's a league partner. How is ESPN not going, come on, guys, you're stealing our games here?
Stern wouldn't have allowed it. There's just no way. There's no relationship there. The NFL says they extend the middle finger to the NBA and anything else. We will be on when we want to be on. We don't care.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. They're king, man.
Yeah.
They're king.
They are king.
Yeah. Like, listen, I heard what you said. If I'm Adam Silver, I'm immediately calling Roger Goodell. Probably getting a dial tone.
Yeah.
But I'm calling him.
Yeah,
right.
Nothing there.
Right. Go kick rocks, Adam. You know what? We're the big guy on campus.
Roger,
right,
Adam's on the phone.
Yeah, I'm busy.
We're sorry.
I want to go back to the Christmas pie. That's how you celebrate with a little Christmas pie, huh?
Yes.
Well, traditionally, yes. Because I'm drunk.
I don't know.
Tommy Waddle coming up next with Waddle Wednesday. Here we go.